The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It is good to see all of you this morning. If I haven't gotten to meet you yet, I'm John, and they let me come up here and hang out, and I don't know, man. Just sometimes I just step back and I'm amazed at what God allows me to do, and I'm excited for today. But I got a question for you. You can be honest. It's okay. We're at church. It's all right to be honest at church. How many of you are here to see somebody get baptized today? All of us. Okay. All right. There's Brother Ed. Thank you, Brother Ed. Alright, no, how many of you are here? This isn't your normal fellowship, this isn't where you normally are on Sunday morning, and you're just here because somebody invited you to come watch them get baptized. How about that? Alright, good. Alright, well, here's what I want to challenge you with today. I don't think that's just the case. I think that everybody who's here today is here because God had a divine appointment with you today. And whether it's here or someplace else, I think the divine appointment looks like this. God wants you to take some next step. Now, as a church as a whole, I've got whiteboards all over the place. I've got whiteboards and calendars everywhere. And I have written down in one of my whiteboards, the next step for our church physically, the next step for our church spiritually, and the next step for our church missionally. And these are three things that like I run over my brain constantly trying to think what our next step is as a church. But I think that more importantly today, God has a next step for you to take as an individual. And your Christian life and your journey with Christ. And some of you, it's this. It's you have never professed Christ. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's your next step, and it's your first step. Others that we're going to see today are going to get following believers' baptism. They're going to take that step of obedience of being baptized and saying, God, I'm buried in death with you, but I'm raised to walk in new life with you today. Some of you, God has a calling or something that he's placed on your life that he wants you to do, and that's your next step. And so whatever your next step is, I think God brought you here this morning today to challenge you to take whatever that next step is. And to do so, we're going to look at a really familiar story. It's a guy named Abram in the Old Testament. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to journey with him as he goes where God called him to go. And so this is going to be a short day today, but I think that you didn't just come here by happenstance. It wasn't circumstances or it wasn't just by accident. God had a divine appointment where he wanted you here because he has a next step that he wants you to take. And so prayerfully, I hope that you will consider taking that next step and whatever God is calling you to do, that you'll be obedient to it. Our story starts out in Genesis chapter 12, and it starts out by saying this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your kindred, your father's household, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had directed him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions and people that they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan. Now, the very first thing is this. I think that sometimes our next step looks like this. We have to leave where we are, right? We have to leave where we are because if I take a step, am I where I just was a second ago? No, so that was good. Great answer. You guys are on fire today. All right. So this idea of taking our next step automatically means we have to leave where we were. So a couple things I just want to point out as we move through this passage real brief. Haran represented familiarity for him. The very first thing it starts out is God tells him to leave his country. Now, what's his country? It's what represents familiarity. It's the things that you're comfortable with. How many of you guys love going and staying in a hotel room for some length of time? How many of you guys like staying in a hotel room for about 2 days and then you're ready to get back home? Anybody? It's so funny how there are some people who could live out of a suitcase for the rest of their life, and then other people who have to be settled. I'm a have-to-be-settled person. It doesn't matter if we're staying a night or we're staying 5 nights in a hotel room. The very first thing I do every hotel room is I unpack my bag. Why? I'm going to pack it back up the next day. It's pointless. But there's just something about being settled. And so this idea of leaving your country for Abram, it meant that everything that he was comfortable with, his familiarity, his surroundings, everything he knew and was accustomed to. Y'all have some strange customs in Louisiana. Y'all get a different palate for food. I love it. I'm just saying. But man, I'll eat some stuff and I'm sweating. And I like hot food. And it's just, it's different how different regions in our country have different things about them, right? You can go, listen, Dunkin', are you a Dunkin' guy? From New York, you're not? Oh my goodness. Dunkin' Donuts, are you a Dunkin'? All right, there you go, that's your coffee. Dunkin', you guys are like, what's Dunkin'? Dunkin' Donuts, the most amazing coffee in the entire world, and they got decent donuts. But they have great bagels too. Anyways, it's funny how different regions are known for different things. And everything that's familiar is what Abram was asked to leave. See, it's the known, it's the predictability. You guys, how many of you know how fast you can drive on LA-1? Not what the speed limit is, how fast you can drive. Because they're two different things. Right? Now, how do you know that? Well, it's familiarity. You know that road. You know when the cops are there, when the cops aren't there. You know different things about them, and so you become familiar with it. And that's what God tells Abram. You've got to get out of this familiarity. Sometimes God wants to put us into unfamiliar places and unfamiliar territories to teach us to rely on Him. If Abram would have stayed where he knew everything, then what part would God play in his story? It'd probably be diminished. Why? Because Abram would largely be relying on himself and what he knew and what he understood. See, I think for a lot of us, our next step in our Christian lives, God wants to move us into a direction where we don't know everything that's going to take place. Because that's where we have to rely on him the most. How many of you love having answers to all the questions? Man, wouldn't it be so nice if God just laid everything out and said, hey, here's how your life is going to work. But it's in those unknown elements when we're unfamiliar, we're not accustomed, we don't know the territory, that we learn to rely on God the most. And the very first thing that God is calling you is whatever your next step is, it may be to move you out of what's familiar into something that's unknown so that you have to rely on Him. The second thing He says is this. He tells him to leave his country, to leave your kindred. What's your kindred? Family, your kinfolks, right? Alright, now, in biblical times, this is a little bit bigger. Your kindred is your security. It's who looked out for you. It's who protected you. It's who went to battle with you. If somebody came and tried to steal your goats or your donkeys or your sheep, who was going to help you defend your property? And so what God says is, hey, listen, Abram, I need you to leave behind your security. Now, our security looks different. It's not necessarily family. For some of us, our security is our bank accounts or our job. For some of us, it's our position or our titles. But in doing this, what Abram had to do was he had to rely on God to fight battles for him instead of his family. Man, listen, I'm a fixer. If my wife comes to me with a problem, my first instinct is fix it. Whatever it is. There's some stuff I can't fix. The other day, what was it? I don't know. She was upset about something. And I was like, well, if we just do this and we just do this and we do this, we can fix it. And she goes, none of that's actually possible. And I was like, you're right, but at least I came up with a solution. give me credit for trying. I'm a fixer. That's instinctively what I want to do. But here's the thing. A lot of times we rely on how we can fight our battles and how we can win instead of relying on what God can do. And so when God calls Abram, he says, listen, leave all the things that are comfortable or that are security for you. Your safety net, and your safety blanket, so that you have to rely on me to fight your battles for you. Sometimes in our lives, God pushes us in a direction that we can't win on our own, so that we have to rely on Him to win for us. He goes on and he says, leave your country, your kindred, your father's house. He tells him to leave his father's house. Now, at first, this may not seem that different, that interesting, or that exciting, but here's the thing. Was Abram's father alive or dead at this time? Any guesses? Dead. Very good. You had 50-50, man. I'm giving you guys questions and trying to set you up for success. His father had just died when God comes and tells him this. Abram had one other brother. His brother died back in the land of Ur. And so really this isn't his father's household. It's his household. He's the sole male survivor in his family. And so everything is his. But the way it phrases that is interesting. I think the way Scripture phrases that is because Haran represented his comfort. It's something comfortable about mom and dad's house, isn't there? Man, if you could go back just for a day and have mom and dad take care of everything for you, you didn't have to pay bills. You didn't have to worry about the refrigerator being empty or full, maybe. Everything was mom and dad's responsibility. All you had to do was go outside and play. How awesome would that be? And there's this element of comfort that comes into this. And so when Scripture says your father's household, it's to show that Abram has to leave his comfort zone. He has to leave what's comfortable. He's kind of like wrapped up in, and somebody else takes care of things. Because it's actually his household, but the way Scripture says it, it's to remind you and I that sometimes God wants to get us out of our comfort zone. He asks us to do something that's difficult instead of just doing what's easy. Abram could have stayed where everything was easy. He had a reputation, he had wealth, he had a plot of land. Everything was right there for him, and his comfort zone was right there in Haran. But in order to do what God wanted him to do, and in order to grow his faith, he had to take that step away from what was comfortable for him. This morning, church, I wonder how many of us are only willing to stay where we're comfortable with God. How many of us God is pushing and trying to get us out and pulling us out and saying, listen, I know this is difficult. I know this is uncomfortable. I know this is not what you want. But if you take this step with me, man, it's going to be remarkable what you're going to see me do. It goes on, and it tells us a little bit more about what all is required for faith and what faith requires. The first thing is faith requires effort. In verse number one, again, go to a land that I will show you. Abram had to go. God wasn't going to bring everything. Let's play a really easy question here. Could God have made everything that he promised Abram happen right there where he was? God's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he tells him, go. It's because he has to have some effort. There has to be some sweat equity in it. There has to be some intentionality on Abram's part in order to trust and put his faith in God. A lot of us, man, that's what God's calling us to do. He's saying, listen, just go. We want to have the answers. We want to have the comfort. We want to know everything. We want to be secure. And what God's telling you is, listen, you have to put in some effort and you have to just go. You have to take that step and you have to be willing to put yourself and some work into whatever God's calling you to do. Man, wouldn't it be nice if God just automatically showed up and everything that I ever wanted or needed was right there in front of me? That'd be perfect and wonderful and great, but I wouldn't have any investment in it. You know, statistically, and studies show that free events don't go over well. You know that? People believe that if it's free, it's not good. And there's nothing invested in it. And so they say even if people have to pay, we used to do a spooky trail. I don't know what it was. We couldn't call it a haunted house because it was for churches. We had chainsaw people running through the woods, so I guess it was the same thing. But we started to do it under donations only because it was like, we just want people to come, and at the end we would share with them about perfect love, driving out fear. It was a gospel element to it. But the idea was we were just going to not charge people anything and let them come for free. And everybody told us across the board, if you do that, people won't come because they don't think it's worth it. But if people have something invested in it, then they'll take it seriously. Man, I wonder how many of us take our faith for granted because we have nothing invested in it. It's not real. Church commitment's not a big deal because there's no investment, there's no effort, there's no energy, there's no work on our part, and so it's just, whatever. When it's convenient, when it's good, I'll do it. He goes on in verse numbers 2 and 3. He says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Man, that's awesome. That's such good stuff. Here's the crazy thing. Abram never got to see any of that happen. Faith requires patience. God, you said all this cool stuff, and God, I really want to believe it, and I really want to do it, but it's not happening right now. No, it's because faith requires patience. Sometimes whatever God's telling you to do, it requires your patience. We want to see the results. We want to see the effects of it right now. And what God's telling you is, hey, listen, I need you to be patient. Now, what does patient faith look like? Patient faith looks like this. You stay the course even when you don't see the results. Michael was talking a couple weeks ago about working out. If I go to a gym one time, yesterday I did a pull-up. Just for you, so y'all know. I did a pull-up yesterday, yeah. I don't know if you can tell, my shirt's a little tighter today. I did one pull-up. I don't have to go to the gym for a week now, right? No. We all know that's not true. In order to see results, what do you have to do? You have to go back continually and time again. You have to put forth effort. But even when you don't see results, what happens if I worked out for a week and all of a sudden I didn't have a six-pack? And so I was like, if I don't have a six-pack after working out for a week, I am done. I'd never get anywhere, man. Faith is the same way. It requires patience. It requires us to stay the course even when we don't see God doing what we want to see Him do. Man, some of you have family problems or you have issues going on in your life and you're saying, God, I don't know how I can keep going on this path. I don't know that I can keep walking these steps. I don't know if I can keep trusting you and placing my faith in you because I'm not seeing you do anything. Faith requires patience. Abram never got to see any of the things that God promised him here. But he still walked. He still took step after step after step of faith. The other thing I noticed about this is there's no age limit for faith. How old was Abram when he did this? 75 years old. That means that most of you can't tell me I'm too old, I don't need to grow, I don't need to learn, I don't need to take another step, I'm done taking steps of faith. Regardless of how old you are and how much you think that you are done, this tells me that however old you are, God still has a step of faith for you to take. God has something that He needs you to do. Has something that He needs you to learn. He has some challenge that's out there before you, that He's placed before you. And He says, hey, listen, I need you to move in this direction. And you can say, well, I'm too old. I'm retired. I don't do that anymore. That was back when I was younger. That was back when I had kids. And God's saying, no, listen, there is no age limit on your faith. The flip side is also true, though. Listen, students, kids, there is no age limit on your faith. Don't let anybody tell you you are too young to serve God. Because you're not. Man, some of the most honest and truthful and heartfelt and gut-wrenching examples of faith I've learned from my kids. God can use you however old you are. And there's no age limit on faith. The other thing that stood out to me was this. Abram didn't go alone. As you and I take our next step of faith, it's important that we always bring others along with us. In verse number 5, it says, Abram took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions and the people that they had acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Abram didn't go on this journey alone. When he took steps of faith, his wife took steps of faith. As he took steps of faith, his distant relatives took steps of faith. As Abram took steps of faith, those that he had influence on took steps of faith with him. There's two reasons for this. One is because, or the reason I think Scripture puts this in there is because it needs us to understand that others are inspired by our faith and want to move when we move. God, just take a moment and look around real quick. This is pretty cool. You know why? Because somebody took a step of faith. Somebody said, hey, I want to get baptized. And one person said it, and then the next thing I know, somebody else said it, and somebody else said it, and somebody else said it. Y'all, we're fixing to baptize 10 people at least this morning. That's remarkable. And you know why? Because one person said, hey, listen, I want to take this step of faith in my life. And it spread. Because it inspires other people. And when other people see you taking steps of faith, they want to take steps of faith in their lives too. The second thing, and the second reason I think it's important for us to take others with us, and the second thing we need to do is we need to make sure that we're inviting people to go with us on our journey. Not just to church. Hey, listen, invite people to church. We've got a wonderful fellowship. We've got an awesome church. God is doing remarkable things. And if you're looking for a place to worship, man, this is it. I cannot tell you how awesome this place is. But are you asking people to take steps of faith with you? Hey, listen, Kenny, can I use you for example? I'm sorry, man, I'm already doing it. Kenny got saved about a month ago, right? With you. Why? And I don't necessarily know you. You invited him to take a step of faith with you and said, hey, let's do a Bible study and work together. Through that Bible study, Kenny got saved. That's, listen, you don't go to church here, man. I think I may have seen you before. I don't know. But you know what that means? That means that somebody said, hey, listen, I'm going to take a step of faith. And as I take this step of faith, I'm going to invite my coworkers. I'm going to invite those people who I've influenced with, those people who are around me to take this step of faith with me and watch what God does. Some of us, men, it's not just enough to invite people to come to church. You need to invite them to journey with you. Say, hey, listen, I'm going to take this step. Will you take this step with me? And watch what God does. It's inspiring. It's encouraging. And we need that because we need to be encouraged by other people. And we need other people to encourage us. This is why this fellowship, this is why being a part of a fellowship, a church, is so vitally important. Why? Because we're all taking steps of faith together. That's one of the coolest things about our church right now is as I'm learning to take steps of faith, y'all are learning to take steps of faith. And we're taking them together and we're walking wherever God leads us and wherever God calls us and we're going there. And God's doing remarkable things through that. So listen, it is important that you take people with you on this journey. The last thing that kind of stood out to me about this passage of scripture is this. The translation for where Abram was when we pick up his story here. Haran means road or crossroad. Interesting. Because is a road if you don't go anywhere on it? Just pavement. Just pavement. Just a dirt trail. A road only becomes a road when you and I move on it. Haran only became a road as Abram started out from it. See, our Christian life isn't really a Christian life. It's not a journey. It's not a walk of faith as long as we're standing still. It requires movement. It requires us to take a step. It requires us to move in a direction. And the other thing is, it either means road or crossroad. Well, what's a crossroad? A crossroad is where you have a decision to make. Church, this morning, I wonder if you have a decision to make that's right there in front of you. God's brought you to this moment and God's brought you to today and you think you're here because somebody invited you to come get baptized, watch them get baptized, or you think you're here because God had this person that said that, hey, listen, we'll have some cake or we'll go out to eat afterwards or somebody's going to buy you lunch or something like that. You think that's why you're here, but you're not here for those reasons. You're here because God said, hey, listen, I'm going to put you in this church service at this time. Because you have a decision to make. Are you going to take your next step of faith? Or are you just going to let that path before you stay untrodden? Your faith's not going to grow. You're never going to experience the life that God has for you. Man, if Abram would have stayed and been disobedient, he would have missed the blessing. We could have missed Christ being born. That passage that said that all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, that's because Jesus was a descendant of his. And that's why you and I are here today, is because Jesus died on a cross for your sins, for my sins, for all of our sins. And he gave us the opportunity to have a right relationship with God. That's a huge blessing, but none of that could have ever happened if Abram decided to say, hey, you know what? Nah. I'm going to stay on this crossroad. I'm going to stay right here. See, again, a crossroad means there's a decision that you have to make. Here's a difficult thing, church. No decision is a decision. If I decide not to turn right or left, I've still decided. If I decide not to take a step of faith, I've still decided. A lot of us think that, well, listen, if this stupid guy would just shut up, we can get out of here, we can go to La Herradura, we can eat some Mexican food, have a grand old time, and I'll be so much better with my life. Here's the thing, though. I can't do that because I love you. God's got a step of faith out there for you. I don't exactly know what it is, but listen, what a better place to find it than here with these people. Whatever your next step of faith is, I beg you this morning to take it. You will find the absolute best God has for you when you take that step of faith. God, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what your word says and means to us. Lord, it'd be easy to come to a day like today and Father, to focus on all the good and the exciting things that are happening. But God, I think it's bigger than that. God, I'm convinced, I firmly believe that you have people here today because you are calling them to take a step of faith. Lord, I don't know what it is, but your Holy Spirit does. So Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us what our next step is. God, we would not worry about our security, our comfort, where we're from, what we're leaving behind when we take that step. God, but we would trust you and move in a direction that follows you. God, we love you. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. I pray that you would just continue to work in our lives and our hearts now. And Father, that we would walk out of this place differently than we walked in. Because God, we're walking in a direction that's seeking you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.